It probably won't get loud. All right, guys, here it is, episode number 3 of my podcast. I'm here with my first guest and his family, and we're all on the same frequency, so it'll be easy, smooth conversation. We'll see how everything pans out. Remember, the topics are always mind, body, soul, meaning that the mind deals with the philosophical construct of or the mental, the things that creates the actual activities. Body, obviously, we know what that is. That's the physical body, the various exercises, the various techniques, what we put in our body, such as nutrition, that really affects the physical. And then the soul, obviously, that's the electrical essence, that's the God essence, that's the immovable mover, the thing that's constant that never changes. All right, so today we're going to be talking a little bit about maybe this is more of a mindset, but really it's just we're just going to talk about our journey into health. So we're talking about health, we're going to talk about our journey and kind of how we move into it, and we're here in the car having a conversation just about how we got started, and I kind of forgot where we were, but I'm just going to pass it over.
I'm Kalen. You can find me at Life of Rip. You want to get a hold of me anywhere? Yeah, like you said, he said we kind of got lost, but we were just talking about the word vegan and how we basically got into it. We was already doing a lifestyle. We didn't know what vegan was, so we were just basically just talking about how we got to the lifestyle, and I added my brother to a group. He was like, "What's a vegan?" And he was looking at what vegans eat, and that's pretty much where we left off at when we decided to do a little mini boy before he decided to do a little this mini podcast. So go ahead.
Yeah, so that's what it was. I was like, you know, when I was going through my journey, I was into my plant based journey. Inspired by Dr. Sabi and some other guys such as Layla Africa. My brother, he put me on Layla Africa. He also put me on a guy by the name of Dr. Morris. Either he put me on Dr. Morris or he added me to a group. I can't remember, but I studied Dr. Morris. But the entire, you know, right now it's 2018, and the vegan movement is a huge movement. But when I started, I didn't know anything about this frequency at all. I knew nothing about a plant-based, healthy, vegan, whatever type lifestyle. Me and my wife did a vision board after watching The Secret. I watched The Secret with her because I knew about it. And because I wanted to create a vision board, so I taught her about that. And we read the book, Thinking or Rich. We watched the little 1 hour film, The Secret, and we did a vision board, and on that it was, you know, like yoga, which we actually do now. We put dreads, grow dreads, buy a house. We actually have a house. We grew dreads and cut our dreads off. We put kids. We put self-employment. We did all types of things, which all of them surprisingly have come true. And one thing was to be healthy. To be holistically wealthy or holistically healthy. I can't remember whatever. But that came true. But that manifested by the way of Dr. Sabi. Because I was telling my uncle about, you know, what we're eating, you know what I mean? Like fat-free milk, fat-free beef, and all that type of stuff. And he was like, well, you know, shrimp is the bottom feeder. And he told me to look up Dr. Sabi, and about a month later, that was in November of 2011, about a month later, in December 2012, I decided to just open up my laptop and plug it in, and I just fell in love with Dr. Sabi after watching Eat to Live or Eat to Die, and he was just talking about how he cured AIDS and all those things and his battle in court and how he beat the FDA, and I just started my journey from there, took our family and just went on that journey. But I never knew what a vegan was, you know what I mean? So that's kind of what we were talking about. So, I don't know. Do you have anything?
Yeah, we can kind of start on. I guess I can say.
I got to hold this thing right here.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, my journey pretty much started around. I'm going to say it started around really 2006, because that's when I tore my ACL playing flag football. And I didn't know what was going on. All I know was I was getting ready to get out of the military. So 2007 came, I got out of the military. And all I know was I lost my six pack. I saw my brother. He was in better shape than me. I was mad. I was real mad. That's just me, I'm a competitive. You know, we grew up playing Madden and Tecmo Bowl together. That's what we do. So, you know, a lot of my, I always tell them what my first healthy meal was, because I didn't know what health was. I still don't know what health is, but it was four eggs with cheese, some store-bought oatmeal called the instant oatmeal. I had my salt pepper on the eggs and two pieces of white bread, some orange juice. And that's what I was eating every morning, because I'm like, okay, I got to start back getting better and better and better. So as time went over years, you know, I kept getting better and better with my nutrition. I bought a few books here and bought a few books there. Around 2009, I got my personal trainer certification, and you know, I was learning what they call health and nutrition. And I knew something was wrong, because I've never been a supplement guy anyway. And my teacher was like, dude, I don't eat fruits and vegetables. All I eat is, I live off supplements and meat. And you know, well, my teacher in Round Rock, Texas, PFTA. BFTA school in Round Rock, Texas. I forgot the guy's name, but that's where he lived off of supplements. You know, that's what he did. I'm like, man, that's crazy. I said, you know, let me do the supplement thing. You know, it's 2009, so I did the supplement thing, and I was like, man, you know, I was bloated after 2 weeks, and I think I threw all supplements away. I was like, okay, I can't do the supplement stuff. So I kept getting better and better with my nutrition, you know. Then after that, you know, I went to massage school, and I kept learning a little bit more about nutrition and just combining things with the body and things of that nature. So, and then as we keep moving forward to, I say around 2010, that's when, boy, I'm telling you something, in 2010, I used to always tell my brother, he'd be like, man, why are you making these excuses with these headaches and stuff? I was like, that's why I was eating white rice, I was eating white rice, chicken, stuff, vegetable all the time. And every time I would eat the white rice, I would feel bad if I wouldn't eat every 2 hours, y'all, 23 hours, I was having to kill a headache. And Courtney would be like, well, let's go to the gym and work out. Man, I got a headache, man. I can't do this. I got a headache. I haven't ate. He was like, what's wrong with you, man? You're making up excuses. I got a headache, man. I guess basically what people now would say was I was detoxing, you know, because I was, you know, hey, I wasn't eating. My body was cleaning itself out and stuff was moving out of my head. So I was still around, you know, I said, some stuff got to give. I'm like, well, I ain't about to give a chicken. I'd already get red meat, pork, stuff like that for the most part. You know, I was eating red meat maybe like once a month or twice a month or something like that, unless my grandma made her famous meatloaf and cornbread and shit. I was eating that meatloaf and cornbread. I don't care what anybody say. But I would say I stopped eating the white rice, and this was the end of 2010. I stopped eating the white rice, picked up black beans 2 to 3 times a day, and the first month, 10 pounds dropped off. Think about it, 10 pounds dropped off that first month. Just listen, I was eating the exact same thing, y'all, and I cut, I wouldn't eat, it wasn't even the white rice, it was brown rice. Because I stopped eating white rice in 2007, you know, when I got the military, I said, okay, I want to get healthier. So I started eating brown rice, because that's what I eat brown rice. Even my grandma got onto the brown rice. My grandma always did everything I did. That's why I can't wait to get back around. So I was saying, so the first month I dropped 10 pounds. But with that 10 pounds I dropped, man, I would be in a gym, y'all, and my gas smelled like death. I mean, I'm telling you, it was just crazy. And my first thought was, something's going wrong. It can't be the beans, because beans are supposed to be nutritional food, and I feel this good off beans. So I said, what I'm going to do is, I'm going to cut off with the chicken. So I cut the chicken out for the whole month and just ate beans and fish. If you go on my Facebook page, you'll see some old pictures around 2011-ish, where you saw me eating a whole bunch of broccoli, beans, and fish almost 2-3 times a day, you know, where I ate the eggs and breakfast also. So that's what I did with that. And after that first month of doing that, okay, the gas went away big time. But also when I was doing the beans and the cornbread and like four chicken legs, and I was starting to, what's that, the gag, not the gag reflex, but the, you know, like when you eat food, it starts to come back up. I forgot what it's called, but I think y'all know what I'm talking about.
Right, so, acid reflux.
Acid reflux.
Hold on one second, hold on. because you can't hold it. Okay, here you go.
Oh, okay. So
you can hold it.
Okay, so yeah, so like I was saying, so then with the beans, I was feeling real good. I mean, after you know, I stopped, you know, I cut the beans. I mean, not the beans, but the chicken out, and I was feeling real good. My energy was getting high. I was getting faster. I was getting stronger. Everything. I was just getting good. And I mean, my energy was high. I wasn't getting burnt out or nothing. So I was like, you know, having real fun with this. I was sleeping pretty good and everything. So, I mean, you know, so that lasts for a good while. For breakfast, I was doing the eggs and breakfast because, you know, I don't know what health is, but at that time of my journey, that was great for me because I'm from Waco, Texas, and where I'm from, like, when I would eat the beans 2-3 times a day, eating the eggs, just the chicken and stuff like that, everybody said I was like a super health freak because I was like really one of the only people doing that at the time. You know, and you know, because that's what I did, and I had fun, and I learned a lot from it. So I kept doing it for like another year or two, and I knew I wanted out. And I was reading a book called, it was a Jethro Cross book. I read that book. I forgot what it was called, but Jethro Cross, you can look them up. Back to Eden, I think it was Back to Eden. I read a few of those books at my grandma's house because my grandpa had that book. I was reading another book by, I can't think of another book. It was a book based off the New Testament. I read that book a few times.
I haven't heard of that book.
Huh?
I haven't read that book.
I had both of them. I forgot the name of that book. It was around 2011 also. So I was reading that book and I read the 4-Hour Body books. I was reading all those books. And then it was a book by Dr. Jensen. I read some of those books. And that's when I was just getting all, you know, crazy with my fruits and vegetables, things like that. I was running out of juice. I even bought a juice around 2011. I didn't know what I was doing with the juice. I don't know, everybody called me crazy. I'm going to tell you something, man. I used to make some juices, and it would be like, I put onions off in there, onions and apples and bananas, and I was just making all types of crazy mixes. And some of them were good, but 80% was just nasty. But I was like, I don't care. I want results. I just want to do it because I want to get better. And at the time, that's when I got into juice, but it didn't last long because it broke on me. What's it called? The Montel Williams juice.
I think I do remember that.
Yeah, I had the Montel Williams juice. I had that. I was trying to make ice cream out of it, all types of stuff, but it didn't really last that long. So, but I was steady getting good. I was steady getting good results. I was happy. I was excited. I was still getting stronger in the gym. I was getting fast. I guess my so-called health was getting better because I was feeling good. I was having fun. Then I was looking more and more and more into, like, you know, the YouTube video. I started getting more deep into the YouTube videos. And like my brother said, my uncle mentioned my Dr. Sebi, Dr. Africa. My brother looked up Dr. Sebi first.
He told you about...
He told us about the same time.
Okay. He showed me. Oh, yeah. Terrence was over there. Everybody was over there.
Well,
everybody.
That's right. Yeah, so my brother looked at Dr. Sebi. I looked at Dr. Africa. And I thought Dr. Apple was like, well, he is top dog. And my brother was like, man, you crazy, man. You better get a Dr. Sebi. I'm like, man, you crazy. You better get a Dr. Africa. And then I said, he looked at Dr. Africa for a while. And then I looked at Dr. Sebi. And I said, oh, my goodness. This man done changed my world. I around the time I was still eating meat. I was cutting down a whole lot more. You know, I got the sea moss, I was doing all that stuff. I was getting better and better and better, but I was still eating meat. Every time I go to my grandma's house, I didn't have no meat in my house. But every time I was at my grandma's house, y'all, guess who came over there and would laugh and be like, I told Quaker. That's the only time I eat meat. And he called every single time. But I would only eat meat like once every 2 weeks. But around that time, I was drinking the sea moss with the cayenne. And like when I'd be at home and stuff like that, I couldn't find like the food. I had the food list, but I couldn't find like Dr. Sebi was talking about the kamut, the wild rice, the chickpeas, all that stuff. I couldn't find it nowhere in Waco. So I was like, well, I don't know what I'm going to eat. So I was still eating the black beans. And then I was doing fruits and just watermelon and peaches in the sea moss drink. I didn't know how to make a salad. So one day my brother and them came over, because they was traveling around America around that time. They came back and keto made a salad. I was like, avocados? What the hell is avocado? I said, man, I'm from Waco, y'all. So
I didn't know either. We snow in Waco, y'all.
All the things I knew was I was eating mangoes and watermelons and peaches and stuff like that. You know, I was following all Doc TV teachers, and I was listening to Doc TV videos, like, it was crazy. Like, I promise y'all, like 10, 15, 20 times. I still go back and listen to some of his videos because a lot of his work from Dr. Steve that I listen to right now, it cross-references to almost all my massage works, and I can coordinate everything and put everything together, and it's just crazy. It's even the stuff that, like with Dr. Steve with his urge, how he talk about how he can, like, how you go into the bathroom, and you be going like 8 to 15 times a day, and I was able to cross-reference a lot of that stuff through the stuff we talk about, the lymphatic works, the iron, and all those things like that, and I do it through massage. And you can get the exact same type of results, or the exact same type of results through exercises and certain movements. But it was crazy, so that's how I do all my information. I had to cross-reference all my teachers. I don't care if it's mainstream science, what they call underground science, what they call quacks. Because if you're a quack and you get results, I like it. I don't care if they call you a quack. I don't care about all that stuff. But anyway, so I was just putting all that stuff together. Like I said, with the Dr. C, we said I was just getting better and better and better, and I was steady improving. And then I came across a guy by the name of the Hoot Mike Ra, the Hootie, and he just blew my mind. Like, I love Dr. C, Dr. Africa. I came across Dr. Morse a little bit later. You know, he was the guy that told me, he was the first guy to everybody. Well, Dr. C brought the protein stuff, so I bought it as soon as he told me about it. But Dr. Morse was like, you can still eat fruit and gain muscle and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, I can? But he was like, you need to have the greens to build. But I'm like, that just don't make sense because I can just eat fruit, in which I found out, you know, years later, with all I just need fruit, just move and just keep the energy flowing throughout your body. That's a whole other topic. You know, I want to talk about that. Another separate video, because I don't have everything together I want to talk about right now. But anyway, yeah, I was just, like I said, so I was just, you know, doing all that stuff with my, without my nutrition and things, and then like my brother said, well, actually I'm gonna start by letting him talk, because I'll probably add on to what he's gonna say after we talk about the vegan word, because he wants to talk about how he came in contact with the vegan word and things like that. Because like I said, we're already doing this stuff, and what do you know what vegan was? Veganism. Only thing we know, you know, veganism, saying animals, this animal, that. All I know was we didn't grow up think about, oh, we want to kill the slain animals. We didn't know. All of them, we just ate meat because we was not told we had to, because that's all we knew. You know, we know we can do such and such things without it. I'm not saying it's wrong to eat meat. I'm not saying it's good to eat meat. I'm just saying all we knew was we ate meat because that's what all our family ate. So, well, veganists, you know, they're against meat, against animal exploitation. We don't know nothing about that. All we know is we good-hearted people, and we don't just naturally kill them for no reason. So, you know, I'll let them talk about the veganism stuff right now.
All right, so that was a lot of knowledge, a lot of information that was kicked, but we're just going to continue. I'm going to take over on the voice. You know, I have my own opinion about veganism since that's the topic. We're going to just talk about that. It just kind of became the topic. But you know, my perspective on veganism is that it's for the modern popularity that it's receiving. The true definition of it, you know, the vegan community really isn't living up to it. It's just only so many people, you know, and I kind of struggle with that word, because I don't know if I want to call myself a vegan, because I don't eat animals, I just don't eat anything from an animal. You know, I'm not saying that I'm harming animals. All I'm saying is I own a pair of leather boots, and I mean, I don't know the level of veganism. You know, I haven't done too much research into it. I don't even like to call myself a vegan. I don't like to call myself a lot of things, you know, because I don't want to get caught up in that frequency of being one thing and then not the other. But you know, I do feel like, you know, a lot of people that actually call themselves a vegan are really just people that are following Genesis verse 129 and just living a plant-based lifestyle. You know, they don't eat meat because, you know, and is this just my opinion? I can be wrong or whatever. You know, I'm not trying to ruffle anybody's feather. I'm just saying that when, from my perspective, you know, veganism is more of a political front, and that the current system and control of animal husbandry is poor and pitiful and just doing a very horrible job. And I don't know who we can attribute to that. But the way that we're treating animals, basically just load them up and just the things that are happening. I just think that, you know, veganism are those people that are kind of like the Harriet Tubmans for animals. And I gotta tell you that I'm not doing that. You know, I'm not out there on the front lines protesting for animals. Now, if you ask me, that would be a true vegan. You know, like I can call myself a vegan all day just to relate, but for those politicians, or protesters that are actually out there on the front line and speaking up for the animals, dressing, going in front of SeaWorld, going to zoos, posting about the things that are happening, the crimes against animals. Yeah, that's my take on being a vegan. You know, when I came across the plant-based lifestyle, it was for my health. I didn't even know what a vegan was until he added me to a bodybuilders group. At that time, I didn't know much about groups and on Facebook at all. You know, I just kind of did my own research on YouTube, and then I would post videos, and my brother added me. He started adding me to a whole bunch of different groups. And I'm like, man, people are actually on these groups out here like that. And I started learning, and he gave me a platform to really teach from, to really speak what I know from. And then I was able to get that type of experience as far as building relationships on social media with people. But and that's all I wanted to say is that, you know, when we're talking about being a vegan, you know, it's gaining popularity. But for me, it's like, okay, what are you? Are you a vegan because you don't eat meat and milk and cheese? But is it still okay to mow down land where the deers live, but then and live in those houses that are built on top of that land, and the results are thousands of the animals that live there die, but then we go to zoos and we protest against the zoos, but it's convenient to drive. You understand what I'm saying? So for me, it's like, okay, what is the extent of a vegan? You know what I mean? So I would consider myself a vegan if I, in my heart, I have no bad intention for animals or humans, because the animal and the human both are animalistic bodies. You understand what I'm saying? And, you know, in the protest, for me, if before I protest for animals, I'm human, so I'm going to protest for a human first. And then as a melanated man, brown skin individual, I'm going to protest for that first before I push for anything else. You understand what I'm saying? Now, that's just me, you know? And if anybody got a problem with that, I mean, I'm just going to say, fuck you. And, you know, just stay out of my lane, you know? And that's just me. And that's not being mean or anything, but, you know, I'm not going to let anyone affect the way I move about in life. You know, I move about in my ways, you know? So that's just my take, and that's my perspective on veganism. You know, I did it I did it for my health, you know. I dropped the fried chicken and the Bush's chicken and the butter rolls, and I can eat a box of cereal a day. You know, I dropped that, but now I'm eating. I really don't eat that much anymore because I've just built a different habit altogether. But when I do eat, it'll easily, you know, today was, I can't even remember. I left the house and I didn't eat. And I left the house at like 8 o'clock and I came home at, I got home at about 12:30 or 1 o'clock. And I believe I ate like some avocado pudding that my wife made with cacao and agave, and I don't even consider that like the best, you know. Like I could have actually done better. Like if I was really on a higher frequency, I would be like, okay, you know what, I'm just gonna have a little bit of watermelon, something with a little bit of water, or maybe take out the cacao and the agave out of the avocado and just eat avocado, a little bit of sea salt, tomatoes, then I would be on a better frequency. So in other words, the skill level of eating, you know, that's even increased, you know, because on a plant-based and not a vegan-based diet, there are certain foods that I know that aren't good for me. So 9 times out of 10 or 8 times out of 10, I'm not going to eat those. In other words, that's kind of like 80-10-10. 80% of my foods are just alkaline, you know, and that's nobody's regimen that I'm following. That's my own. All right, this is how my body kind of adjusted to the situation. You know, there's going to be some times that I'll eat some chips, just eat some whatever, a piece of bubblegum or anything that I'll take in, you know, and that's me. But 8 to 9 times out of 10. I'm just going straight alkaline, straight raw, meaning that I'm not going to cook it or put it on the stove or anything. I'm just going to, like I said, grab an apple and eat the apple. I don't have to put it in the oven or whatever. Cucumbers, I'll leave the house with 2 cucumbers, just some whatever fruits, hand fruits that are easy for me to grab, you know. So, I don't know. Before I even get off, I want to just, because I know you guys, I mean, you know, you heard the background, but you heard a little bit about what I eat. If I could just let my brother just kind of touch on just a little bit what he eats, because you heard where he came from, but you guys really don't know, like, where he's at, what he's doing, how he looks, especially for our age, because, you know, we're getting up there. But if you see his, you're not going to be able to tell. Like, I was just told last week, oh, I thought you was 27 years old. I didn't know that you were that old. So I'll let him kind of just tell you guys, you heard what he ate, and then kind of see where he's at from. I'm just going to say more of a plant base as opposed to a vegan, because I don't think veganism is. But anyways, I'll let him handle that. That's not my space to say.
Yes, I really don't consider myself a vegan either. That's just not who I am. First off, I really don't like labels. I've never really liked labels. I like to have fun. I like to talk a lot of trash. And I don't like to follow rules. So I don't mind being in groups, but I don't like being in groups. And I don't like labels. So, you know, I don't like the veganism. I guess the only type of label, you know what? I don't even like plant-based. I don't like the fruitarianism. I just not who I am, because once you raw food is, see, all those type of things, you can call me whatever. I tell people, you can call me whatever you want to call me, but I don't like to claim those things. I eat a specific way. I don't know why. I'm just really experimenting, having fun in life. I had a whole different type of ways. We'll go back to 2012, because that's kind of what we started off. So, like, when I pretty much got more into the, when I came across, like, Dr. Africa, well, I came across Dr. Jensen before them. You know, I read a book on him, and I really can't really remember the book, but He was talking about like what different type of fruits and vegetables have in them, but I really don't follow his list because a lot of fruits and especially the vegetables he talks about are just what America and what science make it seem so-called healthy. I don't even know what health is. Like I was telling him, I don't know what health is. Because first of all, I'm bald-headed and I'm not there yet. My hair is starting to go back. I got the, you know, the, I talking about the edges. Yeah, the edges are trying to come back in and the bald patches in the back of my head is trying to close in a little bit. So I'm kind of, you know, getting better with that right now. I was telling everybody, yeah, maybe if I can grow out my hair back and I got some, you know, some gray hair from a little stress, you know, but I'm okay with that. But anyway, let's talk about what I was eating back in 2012. So around 2012, like I said, I was eating primarily 80% fruit. And then I was pretty much eating like twice a day. I would eat around, in the beginning of 2012, I was eating between 2 to 3 times a day because I still consider my shake, like my CMOS smoothie, I consider that a meal. You know, even though it was just water, CMOS, lime, and cayenne, okay, I still consider that a good meal. You know, that was my meal, and that's what I was drinking. Then around 12 o'clock, I would have that smoothie around 10 o'clock every day, around 9 to 10. That's where I was just getting into I guess what they would call intermittent fasting. Now people say, we use the term, but we like to call it dry fasting nowadays. But the dry fast didn't start until 2012 as I came across Dr. Moore's and things of that nature. And everybody thought I was crazy, you know. But then, like I said, so then I would have like some nuts and dates because nuts at this time kept me real full. And the only type of nuts I was eating was especially like walnuts, Brazil nuts, but it was mainly walnuts around that time. And then I would consume around, then I would go home and I would have some more fruit or I would make like a third a bag of beans and have some beans and just eat some beans, stuff like that. And then, like I said, when Kita showed me how to make that salad, okay, I can make a salad. So I started making avocado salad and stuff like that. So that was around 2012, you know. And then when I came around Dr. Moore's and, I stopped working. So my funds got real low. So I started living off plantains and plantain chips and chickpeas. And that's all I was eating. I was eating that. But I was eating like twice a day, that was it. I would eat around 10 o'clock in the morning time, then go back and eat around 5 o'clock in the afternoon. That would be it. But then, I'm going to be honest, sometimes I'll go stick those some type of sun chips. Hey, I was still addicted, what you expect. You know, so that's what I was eating. So I was still sneaking some food. Then in 2013, I got a little better. I would eat stuff like watermelon throughout the daytime, because that's when I was around Tigger at that time. And that's when everything took off for me, really. Especially with all my learning, because I was real big in the sun gazing. I would be it. You might want to spend about a good 2-3 weeks, maybe 4-5 weeks, a month or two. You know, research the sun gaze, that's a topic. You know, I don't want to, you know, talk about it because everybody have their opinions on the sun. I'm a lover of the sun, you know, I'm always in the sun, you know, I love the sun and understand once you can learn how to relax the body, relax the eye muscles, you know, you can utilize a whole lot more efficiently. So anyway, so around that time I was real, real, real big to the sun, so I was sun gazing like twice a day for like 30-40 minutes at a time. You know, in the morning time and in the afternoon. I wasn't doing midday yet. That came like 3 years later. But I was getting better. So then around that time, I started eating around 11 o'clock in the morning. It was around between 10 and 11 o'clock in the morning. I would have like some fruit. And then that'd be my last meal until around 4 and 6 p.m., I would have some more meals. Every once in a while, you know, I would go eat some food in between. But for the most part, twice a day, that was it. But I was still struggling. I was still eating sometimes 3 times a day. I was still struggling with that. So I would have like my grains and stuff like that at nighttime with my chickpeas. When I say chickpeas, now, I would do like my chickpeas, but I would like throw out there like a whole bunch of vegetables with my soup. And stuff like, not plantain, but mullein. If y'all know about that mullein, Mullein is a great privilege, and they grew right outside of my grandparents' house. And I would go pick a leaf and put it off in the soup. And when I say you, and when I say you was going to the bathroom, you would go, but you wouldn't even know you was going because it would relax everything. So it's a great mucilage. The mullein plant is a great mucilage, and it helps us move. It's not astringent like a lot of vegetables. Because when you think of astringent, it's kind of like doing a million bicep presses. You know, astringent, your muscles contracting, relaxing. That mucilage is just moving everything out, just moving and moving. Now, it's not breaking down calcification, maybe a tiny bit, but that's not its properties. So it's just me just moving everything out the body. That's what it does, because it's a great mucilage. It's like how your body creates the mucus internally to help move sludge out. Well, that's kind of what the property of the mullein plant is. That's why it's so great. If anybody's constipated, you can start taking for like at least after the fourth or fifth day, you'll start noticing some things. Like even my grandfather, you know, after about 10 days on it, he told me we couldn't do it anymore because he wasn't, but think about it. He was going to the bathroom about 10 times a day. He was like, yeah, that's it, I'm done with this. I can't keep doing the mullein like that because that's just too much. But he had some specific type of issues that we was working with, and that's another topic. You know, my brother's going to talk about that topic later on down the road. Yeah, so like I'm saying, so then I would keep the time going. Then I went back to Waco. When I went back to Waco, it was on after that because I had to take a whole year off from the gym, but I started back going to the gym, and I came back and I was so strong and I was in good shape, and I was eating around that time. I was feeling so good. I was eating like about 1,000 calories a day, like 1,000, sometimes 800 to about 1,200 calories a day. And I was getting good because during the summertime, I started dry fasting towards the end of 2012. Summertime, I would eat 2 days and I would dry fast a day for 24 hours. I would eat 2 days worth of like food and stuff like that, and I would dry fast for 24 hours. And I did that like almost all throughout the summer of 2013. Then I went back to college again in 2013. I was steady doing it. I was steady improving. I was just getting better and better and better. And I was getting in real good shape. And then in 2014 came, that's when I took my workout to a whole new level. Because around that time, I didn't have my first meal until 1 o'clock. And I would work out in the heat of the day, and I would have that first meal, and I was still dry fast, and I was still getting better. And by that time, I was already pretty much like an 80% fruit eater for the most part. Anyway, I was just fruit. And I was eating like a lot of botanical fruits, like, you know, your my cucumber. Well, I've never really been a cucumber person, like squash, avocados, things like that. So I was a, you know, botanical fruit eater myself also, so. And I was getting better at that too. So, you know, I was just enjoying the lifestyle with that. Just keep getting better. And 2013 came. Like I said, I kept doing the dry fast. I kept getting better and better and better at it. And I was getting stronger. And then I got to the point where I could not have my first meal at 5 p.m. I would work out, then come home around 5 p.m. maybe like once. I did that once a week. And I kept getting better and better and better at it. And I was just enjoying it. You know, so then around 2014, 2015, you know, that's around the time I got married, and I went back to work, and I didn't start having my first meal until 2 p.m. I would eat before I went to work, and then I started getting better and better and better at it, and then by that time I was still eating like fruit, and then I would have a cooked meal once every 2 or 3 days around that time. You know, we were just fruit. I would have a cooked meal. Then when I say fruit, I'm like stuff like watermelons, mangoes, and dates. That was my thing. And then I was still real big on the Dr. Stevie herbs, the sea moss, stuff like that at the time. And it helped me out a whole bunch. So I was really enjoying that too. Then I would say around 2015 still, you know, my dry fasting game picked up. You know, my foraging game really picked up. Then I started coming across, like in our yard, we got at least about 12 different types of vegetables that natural vegetation that grow. And I was just getting better with it, you know, just getting better. So as time kept going, I kept getting better and better and better. Now we're pretty much what people would call fruitarian, raw foodist, you know. And I pretty much had my, which is actually today was the first time in, since 2014, I had a meal before 2 o'clock. And I was eating, I ate like some
watermelon and dates. And that was around 1:45, 1:50 p.m. today, you know, because typically on Sundays, I don't eat until 7 p.m. on the days I work. I like to do 8 massages that I come on and you know, eat. So right now, my eating right now is, I'm just pretty much fruit, and that's all I do. And then we might have a salad once in a while, you know, and that's it. You know, but my main focus is just, I don't eat. Will I go back to eating cooked food? Probably so. I'm just having fun, enjoying life right now. So it's not really that big of a deal. So that's kind of how my eating journey is right now. I don't do a lot of herbs like I used to anymore because I understand the benefits of massage and breath and the ice soaks and cold water and a lot of things like that. So if we do like make a salad or something like that, we'll go out and pick like some fresh Napo cactus. We'll go out in the backyard and we might get like some fresh yellow dog leaves, some wild mushrooms and things like that. Or my wife might make some type of raw dish or something like that. So we're just enjoying what we're doing. I still eat about twice a day. Like when I came up from work, I ate some. Kind of running low on a little cash right now, so I don't eat much banana. So I ate some bananas today. I had bananas. I had mangoes and maybe like 2 or 3 days left. So that's kind of how I'm doing with the nutrition aspect of things. I'm eating a lot, I'm not eating a lot. Well, I guess I consider eating a lot because I consider what I'm doing is overeating, but I eat about twice a day. So I mean that's not that bad. I typically eat around. I need to wrap this up because we'll probably finish another time. I'm just pretty much a fruit eater right now, and I have so much energy. So we're gonna wrap this up. All right, guys.
We made it from San Antonio to Austin, so we have to cut it short and handle what we need to handle. Tune in next time, share these videos. You know, we're going to be popping out these podcasts as much as possible. So love you guys.